Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are in a year, and I guess this term of Biden is, I think, a turning point. As I've been saying, and as I tell people, that whenever we have a rhino president, and I've said that I believe Trump has been a far better president than we've ever had in a long time, because he has challenged, and in some ways it's because of his lack of constitutional understanding that's kind of helped, but in other ways it has more to do with the problems that he's caused because of his lack of constitutional understanding. So, I mean, there was good with this and there was bad with this, but I do not believe that Trump is anything close to what these diehard Trump supporters are actually asserting. Any person that believes that they can unconstitutionally just become president because the process was unconstitutional, to me, doesn't qualify you as president. As I have said, we're in the middle of a constitutional crisis. We have a president who was unconstitutionally chosen by an unconstitutional electoral college. Therefore, our president is illegitimate. And because Congress and Vice President Pence failed, because they failed to do their job in recognizing the unconstitutionality of the Electoral College, and because they failed to actually do what the Constitution states in choosing the president, where it goes to Congress to choose the president. This is because they were afraid of the outcome. In other words, those who were in lead and had leadership opportunity, Pence and Pelosi, they colluded together to ensure that Trump did not get constitutionally chosen. So because he's not chosen, I am here to tell you that he is just one of the other people out there that is probably sharing some level of frustration. But we do not have a constitution, and even in swearing him in March, if this facade or if this dream actually has any merit to it, he would still be an unconstitutional president, because there's only two ways a person can be chosen as president. That is by the Electoral College or through Congress, when the Electoral College cannot do it. And that didn't happen. We are in the midst of a constitutional crisis. Anybody who tries to get their way to saying that Trump can become president is ignoring the facts, period. I don't care. You're ignoring the facts because we can't just say he's president. There is a process to that, because we are a Republican form of government, not a do-over, kitty corner, we're going to make it up as we go along type of thing. A part of being a Republican form of government means we must follow the law, or more specifically, we must follow the Constitution. And when we allow the Constitution to go otherwise, and as a matter of fact, I hope that over the course of this next year, as we actually start ramping up the rhetoric over the Electoral College, that the Electoral College has really been illegitimate. We've not been really following the constitutional process. And even though people have kind of agreed to pervert it, I think that it's time to start having the honest discussions with everybody involved in what should we be doing and what is the process for choosing our president. But anyway, we're moving forward. And the whole point of bringing all of this up is that I truly see people starting to wake up. I see people realizing that, you know, Trump really didn't do anything for us. And what is happening by Biden, what Biden is doing by undoing everything President Trump did, only proves, this proves that we can't have a president to go along. Anybody who says that we can allow the president to toss us to and fro is clueless and supporting unconstitutional government as well. What I am telling you now is that what Biden is doing and what Trump did only proves that the only process to getting rid of unconstitutional government is Republic Review. And as you know, this show is also sponsored by Republic Review, and this is the only show that dives into the academic-based evidence and academic-based solutions of what we need to do. Excuse me. So we have a comment line, and you're more than welcome to just dial in 425-270-5416. I had somebody dial in the other day, and they didn't leave a message, but I know that this person was looking to hopefully get me. This goes straight to message. In other words, I believe that there are enough of you that could actually, you know, make my ringer melt, because I believe that there's that level of frustration. I see as our numbers are going up that more and more people are starting to recognize what the truth really is, that we're in this hodgepodge, we're in this pot of division, and the person who's steering is doing a great job like a big huge cauldron and we have like we have this, well, let's call him a witch or warlock, that's trying to keep all of the different divisible things separated in this cauldron, trying to put people in their perspective places. And actually, maybe they're not really stirring. Maybe they're just adding things into this that helps us, you know, like oil and water naturally separates, right? And so they're just adding things to get us to naturally divide ourselves amongst ourselves. But we're all in this pot together, and that is the bottom line. Anyway, if you want to call in, 425-270-5416, I do want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for learning, getting involved, and more importantly, understanding what you need to do, because as you start learning your role, because I am telling you, and this is what's really important, that you, as a U.S. citizen, have a birthright and a responsibility, and things that you are legally obligated to do is, you know, pay your taxes and be a part of the militia. I'm telling you, being a part of the militia is a responsibility for U.S. citizens. And I say that because I know that there may be constitutional laws out there. I should say in state laws, there may be, you know, the parameter that only men are in the militia. Well, to be honest with you, the federal government does dictate what the standards are, and they have opened up the ranks, whether I like it or not. This is one of the things that actually falls under their purview of establishing standards. Now, even though they haven't come down and, you know, managed, and they've ignored, and they're trying to ignore because they don't want to wake up the American citizenry. So this is why, you know, people don't even understand your fundamental responsibility as a member of the militia. And so how does this all work? Well, maybe there's not a militia in your area. Well, whose fault is that? It's the fault of the citizens not understanding. It's the fault of the education. I mean, let's point in every direction, because if that makes you feel better, it's everybody's fault. But who's going to fix it? That finger has to point to you, and you have to be the one that starts fixing it to say, you know what, we all have a responsibility as a member of the militia in our county, in our community. And in so doing, and what we want you to do, and again, I have not fully vetted the National Liberty Alliance training material. Don't have a lot of time to do that. And what I would love to see, because I'm okay with people vetting my educational material and saying, hey, I challenge that. And I think that's really important as people look at it. And the only reason Republic Review is as watertight as it is because of the criticism that I got from friends who were John Birchers that said, hey, look, GR, blah, 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 you know, and I go, okay, I get it. Okay. So this is how we learn, and this is how we start understanding how to fulfill our roles and responsibilities as U.S. citizens. You also have tools available to you, and you should be using your First Amendment right of petition, and you should also be calling upon common law grand juries to, you know, to actually start declaring clarifications of what is constitutional, what isn't. But bottom line, we are in a fight, and the person that's kind of controlling this cauldron, I'll just call it right now, and he's not in control. He's being allowed to, was Satan allowed to, you know, control Job? No, but he was allowed to stir Job's pot and allowed to cause pain, was allowed to cause suffering. And so Satan is the globalist. Satan is these evil people who are trying to divide us. I want you to keep this in context. We have to understand that there is an opposition here, and we are becoming a part of it as long as we are dividing ourselves from amongst ourselves. In other words, we're in this pot together. We need to be uniting on fundamental principles, and we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what I'm truly trying to say here, what I'm really trying to get out is, because I say this all the time, as we fight Satan or whoever you want to call the enemy, we cannot allow them to dictate the terms, because if we allow them to dictate terms and we fight them on their battlefield, they have the advantage because they have control over the court system, because they have control over Congress. And it's the same thing. The Convention of States, all of these things I do not consider them the bastion of where we have control, we the people. And so what we need to do Because the other thing, and the reason I'm really bringing this up in this context, is the divisiveness or the division. The terms that they or Satan wants us to operate in is in a divided concept. In other words, old and you know, we can't get along because, you know, the old are only caring about what's in it for them. We have to set aside our differences. We have to set aside our self-interests, and we have to unite on the principles of individual liberty, that everybody has a right to choose for themselves, period. Okay? So let me kind of move forward. I am going to be giving you the Missouri Compromise and the Monroe Doctrine in probably, maybe not in our next episode, but we're going to hit it on next week. Maybe the first Monday, Tuesday, early in the week, whatever. We're going to hit the Monroe Doctrine and the Missouri Compromise. And then we're going to get into the 14th Amendment. So we've got content we want to go through because, and I'm hoping you're starting to recognize how right I am, that we need to get away from the news cycle. It's only going to get worse and worse. And as long as you're fixated on that news cycle, the less you are doing good for this country in getting people to unite on these common things. We're losing time, and time is very finite, and the Lord is giving us this opportunity. Until that door is shut, we still have the opportunity, and He'll bless us. He's performed miracles after miracle throughout the history of this nation and throughout the history of mankind. So why do we think that we can't get the help that we are so deserving of? Because this is not like Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot can't find one person outside of his family. And even his wife was suspect, right? I mean, she turned around. Anyway, this is not like Sodom and Gomorrah. There are good patriots all around this nation that understand we need to start uniting. So let me just kind of plow forward on this whole concept then. We know, or at least we should know, why the global communists are so successful in their efforts, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with the facts or the truth. It has everything to do with the lies, the deception, and division. And I want to focus on division. You know that old adage, united we stand, divided we fall. Well, are you tired of hearing that? It has everything to do with why they are being successful. Most people can look at the left or the communists and see, even though they have, they're steeped with division as well, but they are uniting. Now you can see how they have infighting between the young and the old, and the same types of divisive things exist on that side. But they put aside those differences and they work together, because enslaving us is their first objective. Now see, the youth, the old, you know, lack of wisdom youth, do not understand that the people who have control aren't the youth. They are being used because they know that blood of activism just runs through their veins like magma in the core, just spinning around and lava coming down the side. It is just an unstoppable thing. This activism and this desire to rebel. Anyway, they are being used in that manner. And we have to start teaching them how they're being used and how at the end of the day, they will lose, because they're not going to be propelled to, you know, to the plateau of control, leadership, and power that they think, if they're, you know, good enough, they will make it there. History proves otherwise. And as a matter of fact, no good deed goes unpunished. I've learned that lesson myself, but it doesn't keep me from doing good. The division of America is what is destroying us, and we are divided on faith, race, gender, and in every manner possible, whether it be the color of your hair or whether you have vision impaired. I mean, I may be making light of this by saying, you know, those who wear glasses and those who don't wear glasses, you know, we're divided in that way. But we use and we will pick and we will pick and pick on whatever little nuances we have that are different from our own and make that our enemy, make that our excuse for not uniting. It's time to put those petty differences aside. It is time that we start uniting, going across the gender, going across the race, going across the age, whatever the demographic is or isn't. We have to put these things aside. Fact of the matter is, the party and conservative organizations are deeply involved in this divisive pandering. We see this, and this is how we can see how we've been infiltrated, how Satan or the evildoers have gotten themselves into the party. I want you to understand this. When you have a party, like the Republican Party that has the log cabin Republicans, they have the youth Republicans, the black Republicans, the Hispanic, how is this not divisive? I don't care. I do not care what your race is. I do not care what your gender is, your color of your hair, or I don't care. We have to put aside our differences. We all deserve the individual liberty to choose for ourselves what we're going to do. We do not have a right to use government as a tool to take from others to give to us because we're not willing or we don't want to put out the effort in taking care of ourselves. There is nothing more damaging to the human psyche than to concede that you can't do good enough for yourself to survive. The greatest thing that helps build self-worth, the thing that actually helps people, you know, maintain their survival mode is the fact that they can become self-sufficient. The greatest success is that, I mean, as a child and as a human, I have seen this when people have learned that they can actually do things for themselves. Oh my, get out of the way. These people all of a sudden start doing more and more, and they become successful in being self-reliant. This is what we need to share with everybody. Anybody that thinks that they can't do it because of their race, because they are in need, they have been sold on slavery. And this is how we have to stop this. We have to start uniting and letting everybody understand the truth that they can do it. You know, hey, it takes effort. Yeah, it takes effort to do anything and everything in life. Well, it doesn't take effort to stand in line to, you know, get my government handouts. Well, actually, it does. You got to give up your time of the day. And is that something that's really benefiting you? Or is this something that is holding you back? I believe that we will win this argument every minute of the day whenever we actually are dealing with somebody that is objective. Don't waste your time on those people at this point in time who can't objectively think for themselves when they're so steeped. Because I waste a lot of time when I think I'm dealing with somebody that I think is objective. And I'll get into that because I had this conversation with a person that was supporting the Convention of States and started looking at Republic Review. And so we, you know, I was dragged into a conversation in an email. And I just think that person just wasn't at that point objective enough to really look at and understand why Republic Review is the only thing that can be done. And it's not because of GR. As I tell you, as soon as the state starts doing this, GR really becomes a forgotten thing. My focus after this is to actually start helping people understand the directions of how we can be successful as states, how states can actually take back their economy and actually without the control and manipulation and the mercantile system of the federal government's economy, how we have the ability to do, you know, unfathomable things and actually lead ourselves into the next few centuries of developing wealth and prosperity for our posterity. How about that, huh? Anyway, the fact is, and on the matter of the party and these organizations, like I said, they are pandering to these divisive things. And what I really want you to understand is this isn't just wrong. This is dangerous. And this is why I am hoping that you understand the importance of abandoning organizations and people who are pandering to this divisiveness. Division and contention has nothing to do, if you're a Christian, has nothing to do with Christ whatsoever. And I hope you understand that. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so, as I was saying, this whole divisive thing that we're dealing with is consuming some of its, just, and we don't even realize this, how much it's consuming of our energy and our efforts. I know everybody wants to feel special, but what does this do when we place ourselves above others? Have you seen the deceptive video or heard the argument out there that here in America, white men have the advantage? There's a video of a person, and actually this is a cartoon where they have this race. It's like a foot race, and they have, you know, two people of color and a white person in this three-person race. And when the gun goes, that the race starts, they allow the white person to start running and get a couple of laps ahead before the other people can go. And what they're saying and their argument is, well, these people, you know, have been here for years, and they have fundamentally, you know, built up this wealth, and they have inheritances and so forth. And so that's just unfair. It's unfair to allow these things to, you know, persist, you know, at the expense of these others. And I understand what they're trying to say is that there are advantages to he who gets to the cake first. Yeah, right? you get the first piece off the cake. Okay, is that wrong? Because you got to the cake first. Now, when we look at society, and when I say society, I'm talking about the different cultures of society that existed 400 or 500 years ago. The Chinese and are the Far East, the Japanese, Chinese, that part of Asia, they had the ability to go out on conquest and conquer, and they actually did in their local area, but they didn't want to project themselves. They felt that they had everything. And as a matter of fact, there's some really good books that talk about that philosophy and that paradigm, that they believed that they had everything that they needed. They weren't driven to try to, you know, acquire more land and do more for themselves. Those in the African continent, those in the European continent, all these other continents, there were reasons why certain races, societies, paradigms, ideologies, whatever, were driven to expand and to grow. And so Western society was basically the yearning society, or the society that was yearning for this growth and so forth. So because they were the ones that finally woke up and said, hey, there's opportunity in them, their lands across the sea. Well, that's just unfair. That's unfair that they thought of it first. We can't allow that. But what I am really trying to tell you is when you watch these videos, the denial is completely missed. The denial that every nation has the same faults is disingenuous at a minimum, right? I mean, have you ever tried to go live in Japan? Go move to Japan. Go, you know, as a matter of fact, there's many societies that have had opportunities, and it's not just America. Look at Europe. It's just on the Western society side. Look at Europe and look at how well the other cultures that were dragged there as indentured servitude, slaves, whatever you want to call it, and throughout Europe. Look at how well they were indoctrinated, or I should say, how well they allowed those other demographics to exist. So in other words, there are problems when you have to try to break paradigms. And only in America did we have the paradigm that was capable of breaking through the ceilings and walls, period. And so this is why America truly was founded on what we believe and what I will assert as equal opportunity. Not that we have an equal opportunity to succeed, but an equal access to the opportunity to succeed. You have the equal opportunity to fail as well as succeed here. Even though there are others, there are those who have advantages because their parents invested well. They spent their time in education over the past, we're going on 200 years since the Civil War. What are the excuses for people, even though there may have been institutional racism, there have been people that have been successful outside of the white race in America that just basically said, I'm not going to allow this to hold me down. And they seized the day and they were capable. And we've turned so many corners as a nation. Why is it that we're still allowing this crap to divide us? It boggles my mind. I don't get it. But I want you to understand that these videos that try to make white men and or America and its institutions as the problem, they are denying the fact that this problem exists in every culture, every nation. And as a matter of fact, it's only because in America we have this constitution and respect of liberty where people actually have the best fighting chance. This is why people die to come here. It was suggested just recently that, as I was dealing with a person that sent me this, you know, email looking at Republican View and had some questions. And so I replied to that person. And after this reply, it was suggested that, you know, why can't we just support both? Why can't we allow both to go forward? And I really, you know, it just baffles me when you understand the finite time that we have, the finite resources. Why is it you would even think, why would anybody think that allowing competing entities or competing paradigms, you know, to persist in fighting with what little time and resources we have? Are you kidding? More importantly, I believe that there's this thing called this, you know, the triage of, you know, how do you sustain life when life, you know, has been inflicted with mortal blows. But before I get into that, one of the things I did provide this individual was I proved the fact that the Convention of States has no silver bullet amendment. There's nothing. And as a matter of fact, they have done nothing to address the noncompliance. When you really listen to both sides of the argument from the John Birchers or the anti-conventionites and the conventionites, as far as I'm concerned, they are dancing around the problem. After 40 years of debating the process between these two organizations, they still have no answer, just the convention bad, the convention good. Are you kidding me? You know, Madison was able to come forward at the time of exigency when he saw the country failing, and it was just a matter of a year or two. He had already had a Virginia plan to go to, you know, to present at the convention of, you know, Philadelphia for the Constitutional Convention. Come on. I mean, do we lack the inspiration? Do we lack the designs of saying this is our solution? No, no. What we want to do is we want to just create this entity and self-importance. I don't understand, other than the fact that there are some motives behind this. The points to the only opposition they have, and as far as I'm concerned, when you really look at the Convention of States, they don't point to the fact that there's a deficiency with the Constitution, or there's a role that the federal government shouldn't have, or that they should have. In other words, the three primary reasons of the four reasons for amending the Constitution, they don't even use. So it's the fourth one that the anti-conventionites are pointing out, but they keep on saying, well, no, 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 we're not going to do this. But in all honesty, everything points to it, that if you can't tell me after 40 years what the deficiencies with the Constitution really are, then you're suspect. If you can't point to the roles and responsibilities they need or they shouldn't. And as a matter of fact, all three of these could easily be handled through a congressional amendment that would be recommended to the states instead of a convention. The only thing that's really on the table that only makes sense to me is the ultimate design in rewriting the Constitution. If these people really care, then they're going to say, well, the only thing we can do is just rewrite this Constitution. And I am telling you that what they are trying to do and the reasons that they're providing, they're not being honest. And as a matter of fact, this is where we go down to this concept of motive. I can see how this debate has gone on for years. There is no real desire to solve the problem. And when I talk about triage, right, when there's a mortal wound that's been inflicted upon a body, what do? You stop the bleeding, start the breathing, and treat for shock. Okay, so we've got these mortal wounds that are being inflicted from the debt. All of this has to do with unconstitutional behavior, violating the Constitution. Nothing to do with the Constitution itself. Why is it that there's so much effort and focus on trying to amend the Constitution instead of enforcing it? What seems to faintly glow as to why this is occurring and why this debate continues is the motives behind its supporters. Madison warned us of this in Federalist Paper 50 as a follow-up to Federalist Paper number 49. Now, what I want to do, because it's important, is I'm going to actually share with you in Federalist Paper number 49 what actually Madison quoted, and we're going to do this as soon as we come back, and then we're going to, unfortunately, this will probably take us into the next episode, but Madison actually points to the quality of the character and, you know, the motives behind these people who are seeking the this opportunity to actually rewrite the Constitution. We'll be right back after these two promos. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so Federalist Paper number 49, I'm going to just kind of paraphrase, because Madison actually, in the very first paragraph, he cites Thomas Jefferson's Notes on the State of Virginia. And he basically identifies within that very first paragraph that there are two types of conventions in dealing with encroachments. Now, one is to amend the Constitution, and the other is for correcting breaches, quote, correcting breaches of the Constitution. In other words, and when you look at the context of this, the context of this is one branch of government is encroaching upon the another branch of the federal government. And so in context, they're not really talking about the federal government encroaching upon the states. As a matter of fact, when you read the Federalist Papers, both Madison and Hamilton said, we don't necessarily believe that there will be this encroachment. They constantly tell people that, you know, if anything, the states would have more to, you know, gain in trying to encroach upon the federal government than vice versa. And apparently these men were wrong, but bottom line, there, Madison clearly identified, and he points to Jefferson in Jefferson's book, because these men brought it out that, hey, there's this convention that Jefferson talks about for dealing with, you know, altering the Constitution itself. That whenever two, and he talks about the two thirds, but when you read Federalist Paper 49, when talking about dealing with the breaches, he's not anywhere in there supporting an Article 5 convention. And as a matter of fact, going on into Article 50, or Federalist Paper number 50, this is where Madison really starts, you know, identifying what the real problems would be with what I would say Federalist Paper number 50. And this is, this goes into the lines of motive when, you know, you start questioning the alternatives of the individuals regarding, you know, why are they asking to do this and what are their motives. And so as we go through this, to this again is actually in Federalist Paper 51, but the great security against a gradual concentration of several powers in the same department consists in giving to those who administer each department the necessary constitutional means and personal motives to resist encroachments of the others. The provision for defense must, in this and in all cases, be made commensurate to the danger of attack. Ambition must be made to counteract ambition. The interest of the man must be connected with the constitutional rights of the place. It may be reflection on human nature that such devices should be necessary to control the abuses of government. But what is government itself but the greatest of reflections of or reflections on human nature? If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. And that's one of the most famous lines I remember of Madison coming out of this. But when he started really talking about the motives, he actually was very, very clear that it's what is it that the individual really wants. There are these driving factors that we have to really start looking at. And so, as Madison points out, he basically says, this is in Federalist Paper 50. What I just read was out of Federalist Paper 51. And if you go through Federalist Paper 49, 50, and 51, it's all about the Constitutional Convention and the mechanisms of using a convention and what a person and what their motives would be if they've continued going down the path of calling for a convention. And he actually points out how, you know, important it is that we need to, you know, actually hold on to looking, because as he says, and as a matter of fact, this points out to what Aristotle talked about, that usually it's the person that uses demagoguery and calling that we've got a problem, this is wrong. And then they call for this convention. As soon as this convention is called, they themselves try to seek power of control, and then this is where the true motives come out. And one of the things that I want to read, and I'm not going to basically get into this, but what he says here is, and this is the last part of this portion of Federalist Paper 59, but what is government itself but the greatest of all reflections of human nature? And then we just covered the government would not be necessary if men were angels. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the place oblige it to control itself. A dependence on the people is no doubt the primary control of government, but experience has taught mankind the necessity of auxiliary precautions. And so when we look at the, like I said, the characteristics of why a person would want to actually call for a convention, especially, and so here's the real thing. If you're going to be calling for a convention for amending the Constitution, then you should be really upfront with saying, here is the deficiency with the Constitution. There is nothing being stated. Or here is the role and responsibility and power the federal government must have. As a matter of fact, I gave you a great example of the Department of Transportation where Madison, Monroe, and Jackson were basically begging Congress, please amend the Constitution so we can do this. And they didn't. They usurped it instead because they were afraid that going through all the effort that they would fail. They thought that they could just usurp. And so moving into Federalist Paper 50, this is basically, you know, to the people of the state of New York, it may be contended perhaps that instead of occasional appeals to the people, which are liable to the objections urged against them, periodically appeals to the proper and adequate means of preventing and correcting infractions of the Constitution. this is, again, like I said, this is Federalist Paper number 50. It will be attended to that in the examination of these expedients, I confine myself to their aptitude for enforcing the Constitution by keeping several departments of power within their due bounds. And again, he's still focused on the problem being in between the branches, not between the federal government and the states. In the first view, appeals to the people at fixed periods appear to be as ineligible as appeals on particular occasions as they emerge if the periods of separated but short intervals, the measure to be reviewed and rectified, will have been of recent date and will be connected with the circumstances which tend to vitiate and pervert the result of occasional revisions. If the periods be distant from each other, the same remark would be applicable to all recent measures and in proportion as the remoteness of others may favor in dispassionate review of them, this advantage inseparable for inconveniences which seem to counterbalance it. In the first place, a distant prospect of public censure would be very feeble restraint on power from those excesses to which might be urged by the forces of present motives. It is imagined that the Legislative Assembly, consisting of 100 or 200 members eagerly bent on some favorite object and breaking through the restraints of the Constitution in pursuit of it, would be arrested in their career by considerations drawn from the censorial revision of their conduct in the future. See, what he just basically said was Obamacare. What was the Hue? Was Social Security? Was these instances throughout our constitutional republic's history of how they just broke through with these favorable ideas and failed to follow the Constitution and in essence violated the Constitution. By considerations drawn from a censorial revision of their conduct at the future distance of 10, 15, or 20 years, in the next place, the abuses would often have been completed, their mischievous effects, before the remedial revision would be applied. And in the last place, where this might not be the case, they would be of long standing, would have taken deep root, and would not easily be extirpated. And so what I wanted to basically, and he goes through this, what I want you to do is really read Federalist Paper 49, 50, and 51. This is where Madison really talks about how amendments to the Constitution are, you know, for altering it, and that there is a need and a desire. Once you read these, then I would ask you to go read Madison and Jefferson's resolutions. If you read their resolutions and understanding the context of what I had just told you, then you will understand that, hey, here the Constitution violated, or I should say the federal government violated the Constitution and passing these Alien and Sedition Acts. Where was the plea for an Article 5 convention? They didn't do it, because they weren't seeking to alter. What they were doing was they were trying, in their terms and in their words and in acts, they were trying to create a convention for dealing with the breaches of the Constitution, period. If you can prove otherwise, by all means, out of all four documents, go to it, bring it to me, because everything they say states that the states were supposed to be the judges in and over all violations. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.